This edition of Junkie takes advantage of important new manuscript discoveries and a better understanding of old ones. The middle half of the July 1952 manuscript, the whole chapter on Wilhelm Reich, Burroughs' original introduction and draft glossary, the queer manuscripts, these and other fragments were all unavailable or presumed lost in 1977. On the other hand, the imprimatur of Burroughs himself is no longer available. This is one reason I've gone into the details to make the process of change between editions as visible as possible, and why, where the authority is uncertain or the impact questionable, I have intervened cautiously. Despite the great interest of almost all of it, around three-quarters of the new material hasn't been inserted into the text. Over 5,000 words from the manuscripts of Junkie and Queer have been given in notes, and the bulk of it, starting with the most important material, has been put into a short section of appendices. Appendix 1, the long-lost Chapter 28, found in the Ginsberg Collection at Stanford University, is so significant that it's tempting to think it should have been restored to Junkie. It's certainly more revealing than the Valley section that immediately preceded it in the manuscript, and that Burroughs also decided to cut. But it's not just a question of disregarding the author's past unambiguous decision. "Reich will be deleted bag and baggage," he told Ginsberg in May 1951. "I do not feel that the part about Reich and the philosophical sections belong there, cluttering up the narrative," he repeated in April 1952. It's also a question of the effect that restoring this material would have on everything else around it. Although it suspends the narrative, the prose here is oddly wooden, lacking the deceptive fluency and rhythm elsewhere. The real reason Burroughs wanted it cut is surely because it cast the rest of the novel in an entirely different light. Suddenly Burroughs breaks into his own voice, as if relieved to escape the constraint of his narrators, and the person that emerges is a speculative philosopher, a theorist of addiction. It's impossible to imagine William Lee reading Reich's The Cancer Biopathy, as Burroughs did in June 1949, or building an orgone accumulator, as he did that November. But the effect of this section is to draw attention to the presence of similar material scattered throughout the novel that is otherwise quite easily overlooked. It also reveals something else about Burroughs. Reich was once one of Europe's leading psychoanalytical thinkers, but in post-war America, he came to be regarded as a science crank and a medical charlatan. Some of Burroughs' speculations about addiction have turned out to be extraordinarily prescient, literally prophetic, but others show him up as an amateur on his soapbox, a crackpot eccentric. Talking about orgones, Burroughs admits here that he might be taken for a lunatic. So there were several reasons why Reich was cut, bag and baggage. Burroughs' original introduction, also from the Ginsberg Collection at Stanford, has much in common with Chapter 28, and it's no coincidence that he decided to revise it in April 1952, the same time he reconfirmed Reich was to be cut. Burroughs recognized that with constant revisions, his novel had changed, and while a few pieces of Chapter 28 survived in the new autobiographical prologue he was asked to write, none of this original introduction did. Again, it's a highly revealing text, speculating about the endocrine balance of addicts, promoting the value of antihistamine treatments as a wonder drug, the clear forerunner of apomorphine for Burroughs, and making absolutely explicit his determination to go beyond the misinformation of prevailing myths.